Paravata. Pigeons. Anyabrita. Cuckoo. Sarasa. Crane. Chakravaka. Chakravaka. Datyuha. Galinul. Hamsa. Swan. Shuka. Parrot. Tittiri. Partridge. Barhinam. Of the peacock. Yaha. Which? Kolahalaha. Tumult. Viramati. Stops. Achidamatram. Temporarily. Utchai. Loudly. Bringa Aripe. King of the Bumblebees. Harikatam. The glories of the Lord. Iva. As. Gayamani. While singing. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the king of the bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. Purport. This verse reveals the absolute nature of Vaikuntha. There is no difference between the birds there and the human residents. The situation in the spiritual sky is that everything is spiritual and variegated. Spiritual variegatedness means that everything is animate. There is nothing inanimate. Even the trees, the ground, the plants, the flowers, the birds, and the beasts are all on the level of Krishna consciousness. The special feature of Vaikuntha Loka is that there is no question of sense gratification. In the material world, even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. But in Vaikunthas, such nice birds as the peacock, the chakravaka, and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. The principles of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are very prominent in the Vaikuntha world. So the connection is there that because we have to have sense gratification, or in other words, selfish gratification, therefore our life is limited. We're born in a certain species of life, and each species of life has got its limitations. The reptiles can't walk. The birds have a problem walking too. They wobble instead of walking properly, most of them. And human beings have so many limitations. A human being, first of all, has to go to work or go to school. You know, and he wastes half his life doing that. So he cannot enjoy freely. We're limited. And the reason is that we want to try to enjoy separately from Krishna. Actually, we shouldn't be able to enjoy it all separately from Krishna. It's Krishna's mercy that we're allowed at all. That we're allowed even a restricted enjoyment. But certainly there has to be restriction in this false realm. We have to live in material bodies. Ridiculous contraptions, although very complex and very elegantly made, but made out of horrible things, these material bodies. You know, it may look nice on the outside, but open it up, and it's disgusting. The living body, the material body. So such a contraption has been designed to imitate the real thing. But it places such limitations on us. We try to enjoy. We eat a little too much, and our intestines go bad. Then we have a stomach ache. Indigestion. Then we get sick. So there's no question of sense gratification in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, of selfish gratification. Everyone enjoys, but they enjoy everything focused on Krishna, and they do everything for Krishna's pleasure. There's no difference between the animals, the birds, the plants, and the human beings. They're all Krishna conscious. They may be different rasas. The non-human beings are generally in Shanta rasa. They don't do much service. So they just neutrally appreciate the Lord. They have a passive relationship. They take and they don't really have much to give. But that's also Krishna consciousness. Normally dull animals cannot attain to any human accomplishments. They can't go to school. They can't build skyscrapers. They can't drive a car. No, we don't see this. A cat driving a car. And so on. But in Vaikuntha, the animals are capable of intelligent thought and refined sentiments, just like the human beings. And I guess they can talk also. But it's a totally different environment. One of no limitations, no anxiety. Okay, I don't know what to say else about that verse. You read one more verse? Okay. And then we'll do... Oh, we did this verse last night anyway. Okay, fine. Mandara kunda kuru bot pala champakarna. Kura bot pala champakarna. Punaga naga bakulambuja parijata. Parijata. Gandher chite tulasika bharani natasya. Der chite tulasika bharani natasya. Yasmims tapaksu manaso bahumana yanti. Tapaksu manaso bahumana yanti. Although flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kurabaka, utbala champaka arna punnaga nagakeshara, bakula, lily, and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by the tulasi. For tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands himself with tulasi leaves. Purport. The importance of tulasi leaves is very clearly mentioned here. Tulasi plants and their leaves are very important in devotional service. Devotees are recommended to water the tulasi tree every day and collect the leaves to worship the Lord. One time an atheist Swami remarked, "What is the use of watering the tulsi plant? It is better to water eggplant. By watering eggplant one can get some fruits. But what is the use of watering the tulsi?" These foolish creatures, unacquainted with devotional service, sometimes play havoc with the education of people in general. The most important thing about the spiritual world is that there is no envy among the devotees there. This is true even among the flowers, which are all conscious of the greatness of tulasi. In the Vaikuntha world, entered by the four Kumaras, even the birds and flowers are conscious of service to the Lord. So we should try to be, if the birds and flowers in Vaikuntha can be Krishna conscious, maybe we can also. At least we shouldn't be atheists, Mayavadis, offending tulasi and proclaiming that watering her is of no use. It's one of the 64 angas of devotional service explained by Rupa Goswami to worship the tulsi. And the reason is that tulasi is very dear to Krishna. He's given her that benediction that all his devotees will worship her. And she's very compassionate, especially on the fallen conditioned souls. Even a materialist, even a sinful man, if he chants Krishna's names in the presence of tulsi, he'll be purified. If he does some service to tulasi, then he'll be freed of his sins and be able to engage in the Lord's devotional service. By pleasing the Lord's dear devotee, one pleases him, and Tulasi is specially ready to accept service from anybody. Non-envious. It's not envious on the part of the other plants that they all think highly of Tulasi. Bahumanayanti. They all offer her great respect. This is a heartfelt thing, not just a display, external show, done for political reasons. But they, Bahumanayanti, in their hearts, they actually have great respect for her. That's not envious on their part. And it's not envious on her part to want to even come to the material world. Leave Vrindavan. Descend to the material world. Appear as an ordinary plant and give her mercy to everybody. Just like Ganga Devi, giving her mercy to everybody. So therefore we worship Tulsi. It's part of our daily sadhana. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
There's different species of life in Vaikuntha, so does it mean that those devotees before getting this form, they were desirous of that form, like get some...
Well,
they have just neutral relationship and they get any form?
It's not just that they want a particular body, that's secondary. But what is the reason why they ended up like that is they wanted to serve the Lord in a particular mood, and the Lord who appears in a certain form. The Lord appears in his particular forms to accommodate the various moods of his devotees. Devotee wants to worship the Lord as somebody great and powerful, so he appears in Dwarka as the powerful prince of the Yadus. So in response to certain devotees' moods or particular desires, he appears in certain forms. And then the devotees take forms to fit, to be suitable for serving the Lord in that particular form. So if a Lord takes if a devotee takes an animal body, it's because the Lord needs some animal to reciprocate in the particular pastimes that the devotee wants to be part of in that particular relationship. A devotee wants to be neutral. Some devotees want to be neutral. They don't feel qualified to serve, or they're not so interested in serving. They just want to appreciate. Or be taken care of by the Lord. So they are taking an animal body can be suitable to that mood, and to being part of the Lord's pastimes in that particular manifestation of the Lord. Vaikuntha requires a lot of paraphernalia. It's a opulent place, so they need a lot of opulence, including flora and fauna, you know, landscaping is required also. So there's need for plants, for birds, to populate Vaikuntha. So devotees who have the desires to be in those roles, they take those bodies, but that's secondary. First, they want the service in a particular way, it's a particular relationship, and then they take a body that fits that. Okay. Hare Krishna, anything else? Okay. Gormohan, do you have any comments?
Yes.
What?
Why don't you talk about
Gorok? Well,
because they're the same.
Because Shukadeva, or rather, Maitreya Muni is talking about Vaikuntha right now.
I know, but can you just change a little bit?
Okay, tomorrow we'll talk about Goloka. Okay? Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you.